Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner for Monday, March 1st, 2010. I'm Sam Minter. I have Yvonne Beau here, as I usually do. Hello, Yvonne.
Hey, hello.
So, topic one today was one that you brought up. You wanted to talk about climate change.
Well, I noticed that I specifically called it climate change, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Not global warming, because this
because
this
you know there's been
weeks.
So much snow, so obviously there's no global warming going on, and it's
well,
you know,
that, that's
go
what a whole bunch
age.
Of people. Well, that's what a whole bunch of people. I don't know. I've been hearing, for some reason, all these people making all these comments. Well, Al Gore must be hiding now. Well, I've been like hearing this for the last month, and it just seems a little bit, you know. I'm like, okay, guys, you didn't read any of it, did you, right? So I guess you didn't really understand the fact that, well, just because we've had a cold snap doesn't mean shit. But second of all, that because of the climate change, really, that there are certain things that, you know, we'd have certain more extremes in weather, that we'd have also, like, certain changes where some places were actually going to get colder, not necessarily warmer. And I'm just, like, hearing this stuff, and I'm just like, okay, oh, my God. What a bunch of idiots. Okay, all right. You know, they just think that a couple of weeks of cold weather is, you know, it really makes a dent on a 15-year trend, I guess.
Well, you know, that... Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, yes, that's it. I mean, it's the failure to understand the whole thing being talked. First of all, yes, the short-term versus long-term trends, you know, any short-term pattern in any, and it does not necessarily mean anything towards the long-term pattern. You have to look at much longer time frames, potentially. Second, we are talking globally, so what happens in one particular region does not influence what's going on elsewhere. And in fact, if you look at the entire globe over the last year, yeah, it's been a pretty warm year. As compared to, you know, now certain parts of the world have been colder than average. Certain parts of the world have been warmer than average. And, you know, it may well be that the part of the world where you live in has been colder than average. You know, I mean, where I am in Seattle, it's been a warm year. You know?
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's one of the things. Up there, it's been a warm year. I mean, hell, even the Olympics had trouble getting enough cold and snow and stuff.
Maybe it's been cool in the east. You know, and let alone, let's talk about the fact that if you talk about the American East Coast where most people live and add in the American West Coast, you're still a tiny, tiny fraction of the whole globe.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, also there's, I don't know, there seems to be so much willful denial and so much,
yes.
You know, fundamentally... disinclination to actually look deeply at any of the evidence or what's being talked. Now, you know, we're talking about science here. We're talking about an inexact science. There's certainly room for error. There's certainly, you know, a chance that, you know, the consensus of all the scientists today is actually wrong, and they'll turn up evidence next week that it'll be something else. But so far, you know, if you actually delve into it, it's, you know, there's a pretty compelling case that there are significant changes going on right now. It is a pretty compelling, although slightly weaker, case that change is due to human causes, you know, and, you know, fundamentally the, now, you know, and I very much respect folks who, you know, make good arguments about, okay, well, what, if anything, should we do about it? Like, you know, because there are certain things that we could do about it that would have massive economic consequences. There's also the possibility of ignoring it, and that may have certain consequences.
Sure.
And people can make arguments about, you know, okay, should we do A, should we do B? You know, is this something we should, like, make policy choices based on? If so, what policy choices should we make? You know, that's all a respectable debate as far as I'm concerned. But the people who just go around saying, it's not happening... those are the folks that I can't even, you know, come on, you know.
Yeah, it's all now, and even you and me, I mean, we've also talked about the fact that even if it is happening, that we we may be able to just adjust anyway, even if it does happen. Okay?
Right.
I mean, we've actually talked about that, which is a possibility. But all these people are just flat out saying that, you know, even in spite of all the information available, not accepting that it's happening. I mean, that's just ludicrous. Okay?
Well, you know, and I saw, jumping quickly to sort of some of the things that could be done. Yeah, there's a podcast I listen to occasionally called Common Sense by Dan Carlin. And a few months ago, probably, he talked about this a little bit. One of the things he pointed out, which I hadn't heard a lot in the debate, in people debating this kind of thing, which actually resonated with me, was, you know, people talk about, like, okay, if we are really going to combat this, if you look at the scientists, and let's say you assume that, yes, global warming is happening. Yes, it is related to our industrial output. And given how long these things last in air and such, you know, the level of cuts that have to be made to actually reverse the trends are massive. I mean, they're basically talking about, you know, going back to levels of output from 100 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, fundamentally, and if you look at it on a per capita basis, based on population growth, you're actually talking about going back to a level of output, you know, from like, you know, over 100 years ago, like 150 plus years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there are a couple of ways of looking at this, of course. One is, you know, first of all, are you really going to do that? Let's imagine, under what circumstances are you really going to be able to make an abrupt change? Because the scientists say in order to do this, you know, we're talking, it has to happen now, not 10 years from now, not 15 years from now, not a gradual thing over the next 50 years. But, you know, are we really going to make that kind of changes in our lifestyle? You know, no.
No.
No, it's just not going to happen. And anybody who out there who puts out a proposal that starts with, you know, let's make people stop driving cars or whatever, you know, get real. It's not going to happen. So the other flip side, which is probably also a get real, not going to happen, but, you know, to put out there, you know, this, the growth in industrial output, almost more so than anything else, is driven by population growth. And the fact that, you know, we've got, you know, twice as many people on the planet as a while. Now, we're doing a lot more industrial stuff. There's some efficiencies going on. But there's a lot being driven just by the fact that there are more people. So, you know, why aren't we seeing, as one of the possible things discussed here, you know, a massive, you know, not necessarily a China-style one-child thing, but maybe a, you know, worldwide, let's try to get to two kids, you know, which is which is flat population growth. You know, I don't know. I mean, anyway.
Well, there are certain demographic trends that are trending towards that. I mean,
I know.
Western Europe is in that trend. China, one of our biggest countries, is in that trend.
Yep.
So is Japan. So are a lot of other countries that are heading in that trend.
Globally, the growth rate is still very strong. I think people have estimated that if you extrapolate out current trends, you'll reach flat population growth in like another 100 years or something.
Okay. But the growth is certainly decelerating. That's for sure. So, you know. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I think it's just, like I said, it's a thing. My only thing about it is, it's just these people like trying to deny that it's happening. It's just, you know.
You know, I was just throwing out some random crap there because I thought it was interesting. But I mean, yeah, I think the debate needs to be on, okay, we understand what's going on. Now let's figure out what we're going to do. Again, if anything, the right answer may be don't do jack.
Nothing.
But, you know, let's have a debate that's honest about the starting point as opposed to, you know, trying to, you know, argue that gravity points up, you know?
Yes.
Which I think is what's happening here a lot. Now, I don't want to diminish. I mean, this, like I said, this is science in an inexact place. This is not as you know, the climate is an incredibly dynamic system. We do not understand it completely. There are a lot of variables there. There are a lot of feedback loops that we don't understand. Do we understand it better than we did 10, 20 years ago? Absolutely we do. Do we understand it perfectly? Absolutely not. Not even close. This is a, you know, this is a very active area of research, and there is room for error. You know, there are significant things that, you know, the, you know, global scientific consensus might be wrong on. But you kind of have to make decisions based on the best information you have at the moment. You know, and the best information we have at the moment says there is something going on here. And so, you know, sticking your head up your ass and pretending there isn't an appropriate way to...
Is it really right? The proper response.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll be back with something else.
Dug yourself with flu protection. La-la-la-la-la.
For the most accurate health information, visit www.cdc.gov or call 1-800-CDC-INFO 24/7.
Okay.
Hey, do you...
Go ahead.
I wanted to say something. We should start recording.
Go ahead. I'll cut you out. What's up?
Okay. Do you have a fan or something going on over there? I don't know. Whenever I'm speaking, I was hearing a lot of background noise from your side.
Oh, crap. You know what it is? Let's see. Hold on.
What?
I neglected to actually put the microphone in front of me.
Oh, okay.
Okay, let me see if I could... first, I'll make sure I'm using the right microphone. Yes, I am. Okay, and now I will pick it up. That'll make a lot of noise. And then I will put it in front of me and sit down in front of it. Is that any better?
Yeah. It was just like, I don't know, all of a sudden when you weren't speaking, it was just like you could pick up like a lot of noise. Okay, all right.
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
I'm an idiot. I'm sitting here like I'm talking, and I have my really nice blue snowball microphone that I got for Christmas, and it's sitting up on the shelf over in the corner, nowhere near where I am.
Ah, okay. Well, that explains it. Okay,
but,
all right.
You know, it was working. It was, you could hear me.
It was working. Yeah.
It wasn't pointing at me, so.
Okay. All right. Gotcha.
Okay. So maybe I won't cut that out because it was me being stupid. Anyway, and I enjoy like pointing out the times when I'm stupid because it's kind of funny. Anyway, so next we wanted to talk about this lovely little healthcare summit that happened early in the last week.
I gotta admit that all I did was read the news reports about it. I did not have a chance to watch this.
So I listened to maybe the first half hour.
Okay.
And I watched a couple bits and pieces, but mainly I was listening to audio. And so I listened to some of the introductions and didn't get much further than that because, you know, I had to go to work. But I did find it interesting that, you know, even in the part that I was listening to, it was actually somewhat substantive on both sides. I mean, they clearly disagreed, and they weren't, you know, the Republicans clearly weren't, you know, doing exactly what, you know, Obama would have loved them to do in his perfect little world. But they were actually talking about healthcare, and even though, you know, Obama and his folks a few times said, you know, let's get off the talking points, I think, you know, they pretty much were on topic a lot of the times. I mean, they weren't necessarily directly addressing each other's questions and issues, but I found it I found it nice just to have that kind of conversation happening, even though, in the end, nobody
they got
changed,
nothing. Though.
They got nothing. Nobody changed any positions. Nobody. There wasn't suddenly some sort of grand compromise. Nothing like that happened. But I think it was still useful and interesting to have the debate.
You could get Gorbachev and Reagan or Brezhnev and Nixon easier to agree on fucking something than these guys is what I thought. I was thinking for a little bit, for Pete's sake, you know? I mean, seriously. I mean, think about it. What the hell? I mean, so, but that was one thing. But the other thing that, you know, one thing that just struck me is, what the hell is up with McCain?
He's got a primary challenge in Arizona is what's up with him.
Jesus. So he's decided that the only way to win, well, you know, so right now, just, you know, his only way to win is just to become a complete asshole.
Well, I mean, basically, he's got a challenge from the right in the primaries in Arizona. So he has to prove that, yeah, he is, in fact, the conservative, blah, 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 blah.
I think that the problem that McCain has created for himself is that McCain was never beholden to that right before. And he wound up, you know, wedging himself so far to the right in order to run for presidency that now, in order to win his stupid Senate seat, he's got to kowtow to these guys even more.
Although he
ever did.
Although I will point out that he did run an ad recently, basically calling out his primary opponent as a birther, which is interesting because, you know, a large part of sort of that conservative group that he is catering to may think that's a good thing. Yeah.
So I haven't seen that, but I don't know. I guess the one thing is, no, it's just that at the summit, at the summit, he seemed very bitter.
Well, yeah, he lost.
Yeah, but it's been a year, man. I mean, get over it. I mean, come on.
Yeah, well, you know.
I mean, it's been more than a year.
I mean, there was that back and forth with Obama where, you know, Obama's like, you know, the election's over, John. And he's like, I know, I'm reminded of that every day.
Yes. Like, well, but he was stumping, like, on the, I mean, he was talking like he was stumping when he was talking. That's what I mean, from what I read.
Well, I mean, it was again, just... he's stumping in his Senate race in Arizona. I mean, you know, and he looks like, I mean, it is not out of the realm of possibility that he will lose in the primaries in Arizona. You know, it's, yeah, he's probably still the favorite there, but I mean, it's not, he can't take it for granted. And, so, yeah, so he's doing all kinds of stuff there, and you know, I don't know. We talked shortly after the election. My expectation was actually that he'd ride off into the sunset and be done. You know,
I would have just retired. You know what the heck? I mean, that's what what's his name did.
Bob Dole.
Yeah, sure. I mean, why not?
You know. I mean, he, you know, honestly, though, you know, he's basically hasn't done anything else, you know, his whole life. I mean, after he got out of the military, he pretty much went straight into government. So, you know, it's what he knows, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
He wants to be like, you know, Strom Thurmond or Byrd or whoever who are, you know, in the Senate until they're, you know, in their 90s. Or in the case of Strom Thurmond, I think he made it to 100. Didn't he? Mm-hmm. I'm not sure. Anyway.
Well, you know, you spoke about the birthers, and I got to tell you something, that I got this news story which unsettled me a little bit about not necessarily about the birthers themselves, but about birth certificates. There was apparently the government of Puerto Rico has decided to invalidate all currently outstanding birth certificates.
Okay.
And that you know, that any current one that you have is no longer going to be deemed as valid.
So you have to go back and get another one.
Get a replacement one, yes. Apparently the reason has been said that apparently...
That's a fake Puerto Rican birth certificate?
For whatever the heck reason, which I'm still scratching my head as to why. The document, if you compare it, I've compared it to the ones that other states issue, is very similar. With the same kind of watermark protection, the same kind of stuff and whatever, same process. So I'm a little bit like wondering, but they're saying that an extremely high percentage of fraud is being committed with Puerto Rico birth certificates. So the government decided to invalidate all currently outstanding birth certificates, and that you would need to get a new one if so you needed one. So I don't know what the heck that's going to mean for that, but you know, anyway, I just thought I'd throw that tidbit in there. I don't know what problems that's going to cause, but we'll see. The date for them to become invalid is July 1st. So we'll see.
Are you getting a new one?
I guess, yes.
There are two possibilities, of course. Get one now or wait until you actually need one for something.
No, I can't get one now because even if I understood this correctly, even if I got one right now, I think it would still be made invalid on July 1st.
Oh, okay. You'd think it'd be an overlap period of some sort.
I would think, but I don't know. Based on the news story, it wasn't. So I just, you know, weird,
okay.
Bizarre.
Anything else to say about healthcare? Because we kind of got way off tangent there.
Well, the bottom line, well, no, we didn't. I mean, we covered it. I mean, that's what they talked. I mean, they did nothing. I mean, nothing happened. And now they're talking about trying to ram through the bill anyway, no matter what. So I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Okay, we'll take a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Curmudgeon's Corner Poem of the Week, brought to you by Notel Motel.
Wool Gathering 1 by Trina Burke. This is the final day. This is the final day when metallic scraping stands hair on end, placed end to end a hair length forms, braided end over end a rope, specifically a means of escape. There is no need to frighten the children so. You might say these fantasies are merely funhouse mirrors. Nothing is fun without an element of fear. Do you look over your shoulder when you brush your teeth? The lace of waning light through needle pine? Is it past your bedtime? Breadcrumbs and bear traps. A stroll, meandering, a hike begun in broad daylight, a minor miscalculation, a last loss lost. A chance. What have you to lose? A game of Black Peter? Odd man out? This is my handle and this is my spout. What was she singing floating down the stream? A minor mismanaged scream. Sound effects of a forest horror. Crane your neck to search thicket, copse, and bush. Spread a wide net. Step an imaginary grid. As children we threw crushed clay into the wet, a billowing water cloud of rust, called it blood, felt it bloodlust. What shouldn't we smash? What should? We were walking frenzy, swinging vines and grappling bark, impeccable balance coupled with clumsy minds. Caught up in shadowy rooms, how could they ever coax? Why don't you go outside? Shy? All gold and too bright, it hurts my eyes. My think can make a jungle of any room, a spelling cast of cabinets and doom. The yip-yip dogs' clacking jaws will only follow as far as the street corner.
For more like this, go to notelmotel.org with a new poet each week and a new poem every weekday.
Okay, and we are back. So we wanted to touch on the earthquake / tsunami that happened this weekend.
I don't know if everybody heard it on the news, but there was a quite a strong earthquake in Chile. The strength of the earthquake, I guess, is one of the 100. One of the top. is in the top five, I think, earthquakes top five in this the last century.
Well, yeah, in the last 100 years.
Yeah, yeah, in the last, I mean, yeah, by I guess 100 years. Yeah,
as opposed to the last 10.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I know what you're saying, but it was quite a. I mean, I actually I have some friends down in Chile. I have heard from one of them, actually over Facebook. He was able to get on the internet. He said that that cell phone communications in Santiago were working pretty decently, depending on which company you were with. There are some companies that had virtually no outage. There were some that were having certain difficulties, but. You know, but other than that, I haven't gotten any more details. He actually sent me a couple of links from coverage in their local newspaper in Santiago, which apparently was on the web. But I got to be honest, I tried to go to the links and they didn't work. So I guess the external, I mean, I guess internet connections with inside Chile is apparently much better than whatever the heck we're able to get right now outside. But right. But that was, I mean, you know, the one thing I guess that one of the last time they had such a quake with such strength in Chile, it had sent substantial tsunami waves through the Pacific. Thankfully, that wasn't the case this time. So,
yeah, I mean, I admit to watching the local Hawaiian station streaming as they're like, okay, it should be hitting now. It should be hitting now. Oh, okay, you can see the water went down a foot or two, you know, and so they had some you know basically the tide went in and out a couple times early, and that was the extent of what ended up happening. I think Hawaii ended up getting a 3-foot tsunami. California got a 1-foot tsunami, basically small enough that no one would have noticed if the alarms hadn't, you know, been going off and such. And they are still trying to figure out, you know, the scientists are going back and trying to see, okay, why was it as small as they had it? But, you know, basically the state of that kind of research is that, you know, you can tell that something happened that had the potential to create a tsunami, and you can predict the rate at which it would cross the ocean, and so therefore when it would hit certain places. But their ability to predict how big they will be is still very poor, because apparently it depends quite a lot on the specifics of how the ground moves at the part of the ocean that's closest to the epicenter. You know, so a small difference in the starting conditions can make a big difference, and they're still not at the point where they can sort of reliably predict that. But, you know, the worry with all of these kinds of things is always, well, you know, this time they had the big warning, everybody evacuated, and nothing happened. So next time there's a warning, you know, are people going to ignore it and something big's going to happen, you know, so...
I don't know, but my friend over here is commenting that he is going in Santiago itself, that there's a lot of buildings with serious structural damage, and that a lot of people are moving. They are trying to relocate from those buildings because the buildings didn't collapse, but they certainly got damaged. So a lot of people are scared of staying in those buildings and trying to move to other safer locales. So
yeah, that's one of the things. The last stats I had, you know, as of when we're recording this, was something like 700 dead, and then but the number that are displaced out of their homes for the type of reasons you're talking about was in the millions.
Yeah. So I don't know. So it's you know, quite a big one.
But you know, and this is another place where we can point to, you know, what a difference it makes. I mean, you know, from the, yeah, there were a few disputes about it, because people were confused by comparing different scales and how they worked. But in the end, this quake was about 500 to 600 times stronger than the one in Haiti. But the effects will be much, much, much less. I mean, horrible to the people who are directly involved, obviously. But, you know, in comparison, the number of people, dead, homeless, etc., is going to be smaller in the end. And the difference is, you know, the infrastructure and the quality of the buildings and the preparation.
Chile is a far richer country. Is the richest country in Latin America.
You see this all the time. I mean, but, you know, I heard a number of people talking online from Chile that, earthquake drills are a routine part of, of school. People know what to do. People are educated on that. And, as you said, the fact that they are a much, much richer nation means that things are built to a much higher quality level. And
it's not just that. It's not just the wealth. I mean, because you have other wealthy countries with some problems, but Chile, for whatever the heck reason, a lot of people attribute it to the number of years under dictatorship, is a very orderly society as well, where people don't just flout laws. So if a building code was passed,
then they're going to actually do it.
Exactly. Okay.
Because otherwise, Pinochet will get them.
Well, not anymore. But people still. But people, for some reason, they're still, that's still permeated some of society. Some people were commenting that society still to this day is very affected by it. By that, so anyway.
Well. Yeah, I mean, I guess not much else to say. I mean, they're figuring out what they have to do and moving forward, and because of this difference, you'll probably hear a lot less about it a lot faster than you heard about Haiti. I mean, Haiti was in the news for a long time with a much weaker earthquake, but because, they've got it much more together, it's probably going to drop from the news very quickly.
Probably. So, anyway, all right. So,
anything else?
That's it.
Okay. Let me take a quick break, and then I have one more thing I want to mention for a few minutes, and then we'll get out of here.
All right.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classics celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
Okay, so we're back. The thing I wanted to mention is, before we started the show, just so people don't know, it was time for us to do it, and I had to IM Yvonne from another computer saying, I'm sorry, I'm not there yet, but, my computer is not responding, I'm waiting for it to do whatever, I'll get with you as soon as it, figures out what it's doing,
mm-hmm.
or I'll reboot it. This kind of thing, has happened to me a lot, but the time is now. I am most likely going to be ordering my new computer later tonight.
Later tonight.
Later Ooh. Tonight, most likely, because I.
What are you gonna get?
So I was going. I am almost certainly gonna get a fully maxed out 27-inch iMac.
Okay.
So here, a few things on this. Here's my thought process. As long as I have a laptop for work, it probably doesn't make sense for me to get a laptop for home. Even though, two computers ago, I'd always sworn, the laptop can do everything I need. There's no need for a desktop anymore, blah, blah, blah. This last time around, I got a desktop. Also, because at the time, I had a laptop for work and, whatever. You get the nice big screen, you get more hard drive, you get all kinds of things there. I've occasionally considered the Pro, the Tower.
Mm-hmm.
But
I don't know. It's just never really super appealed to me. I think it's probably more than I need in general, but also, I don't mind the all-in-oneness. And the biggest problem with the all-in-ones they've actually solved with the newest round of them, which is that you can now actually use them as a monitor as well. So, like, the most common problem with all-in-ones is that the computer part is obsolete long before the monitor part is obsolete. And okay. So you end up sort of tossing the computer out or, putting it in storage, but it's still got a nice, beautiful screen you could be using, but previous iMacs you could not use as a screen for another computer. That is no longer true with the new ones. You can.
Oh, cool. So
the new ones, get this nice 27-inch screen, and once the computer part is obsolete, I've still got a nice 27-inch screen, assuming I haven't destroyed it in some way at that point.
Do you still have your bag of hammers right by the screen?
I have two hammers just like 5 feet away.
Okay, there you go. All right.
And, teetering on a shelf above my computer, of course.
Great.
No, so basically, last year, 2009, was my year to replace my computer, which is one of the reasons I've been so frustrated this year. I tend to find my pattern with computers, given the way that I tend to use them, or some may say overuse them, I tend to tax them to their limits, is that, the first year, I'm like, this is kick-ass, this is an awesome computer. The second year, okay. The third year, I'm starting to, feel constrained in what I can do based on the computer. So normally I would get the replacement the next year after that. But this last year we were like, baby, blah, blah, blah. So I put it off a year. So I'm now, this computer is now over 4 years old. And I'm definitely feeling it and I want a new one. So 2010 was the year. I was potentially able to do it as early as, 4 or 5 weeks ago. I was going to do it with the last stock grant I got, whatever. But there was a problem. The 27-inch iMacs have been having a problem where the screens have been coming defective. And
some people have been mentioning that, yes.
A large number of people have been having problems with their screens. There's been a yellowish tint to them. There's been flickering issues, blah, 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 blah. So I basically said, look, I'm going to monitor this, until that's taken care of, and I'll hold off on buying anything. Well, this last week, Apple finally put out a statement. Like, they denied there was any sort of problem at all prior to this, but they finally put out a statement saying, we have fixed the issues, and we believe this is no longer a problem. If anybody does see a problem, talk to AppleCare or whatever, and we'll take care of you. So apparently a lot fewer people, since they made the fix like a week and a half ago, are seeing the problem. It's not gone completely, but the number of instances is way, way smaller than it was. And now Apple sort of admits it's a problem, so they'll actually take care of you instead of sort of saying you're imagining it.
Eyes are wrong. Your eyes. Clean your glasses.
Yeah, I mean, their answers were sort of along the lines of, well, there's a natural variability to LCD screens, and things along those lines. And, people were doing things like they would, if they argued enough, Apple would replace your computer, but they would be getting one back that still had the same problem, and it was a pain in the ass. But, hopefully all that's better now, so I feel like, okay. What? I'm going to take the plunge.
I still remember this one time, and I'll just throw this anecdote, just a customer care anecdote regarding Compaq, to be specific, before merged with good old HP. Right after the merger, we get a call from a customer who apparently had six different laptops with him. He called in to say that his laptop was broken. They sent him another one. They did take the other one back. That one wasn't working. They sent him another one. They sent him another one. They sent him another one. So we wound up with six. The problem was that none of them worked right, or they had software that was not his. An image, say, I know that a couple apparently had a software image for, I think it was General Motors.
Okay.
Yes. And the guy is like, what the fuck is wrong with all you people? I mean, you keep sending me these damn machines. They either don't work or, you know, they're meant for somebody else, you know? So, you know, it could be worse, you know?
Yep, yep. And so at this point, the main remaining decision for me is I have been toying with the concept of actually not doing an automated import from my old computer, but instead starting with a fresh, clean, stock, you know, out-of-the-box iMac with all its settings, and then, you know, only bringing over stuff sort of, you know, as I need it and setting it up as I need it to sort of, as a way of eliminating the last, you know, 15 years of cruft or whatever, you know, since I think I've basically, you know, I mean, I've done the automated Mac-to-Mac import ever since Apple offered that, and before that, I was bringing everything over by hand, you know, and, you know, there's the question of, you know, some of my performance issues are due to old computer, some of the performance issues are due to I'm just having it do all kinds of non-standard stuff, you know, and, you know, I've mentioned on the show before, you know, last when I updated to Snow Leopard, you know, I had to actually dig into some of that because there were some incompatibilities. So I ended up finding out that I was still running drivers for peripherals I haven't had in a decade, you know, and stuff like that that I had to remove. But, you know, and so I've been seriously thinking about that, but I don't know if I'm going to be able to make myself do it, because in the end, I keep thinking about, you know, most of the things I've got it doing, I still want it to do. Most of the things I've customized, I still want it to do the way I have it now set up to do. And I just imagine the pain of doing all of that by hand. And I'm like, I just don't have time for that, you know?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I mean, that's got to be nuts, though. I think, you know, I just go ahead with a freaking import. Forget about that shit.
Yeah, because, you know, when you do the automated import, yeah, I forget what they call it.
Whatever. I know. It's got a name, but I can't
remember.
It's
got a name, but basically, you do this. You plug your new computer into your old computer. You let it think for like 24 hours. Well, it how long depends on your setup, but I've got like 500 gigs of crap to move over, so it's going to take like 24 hours. And then at the end of the time period,
voila!
You turn on your new computer, and it is your old computer. Everything's set up exactly the way it was, except it's a crap load faster and nicer, you know? So I think I may end up doing that just because, you know, I'm just imagining myself, okay, moving all my mail by hand, my mail archive by hand.
It'll take 6 years.
Pictures,
I mean, by the time you finish moving everything, you'll need a new computer.
Yeah, and then I'll be looking, I mean, even if I made it, you know, easier by just, okay, I'm just going to take my whole documents folder, for instance, and I'll take my whole music folder, and I'll take my, you know, all of that kind of stuff, I'll just take all over at once. Even if I did all that, you know, I have all this, stuff set up to automatically pull backups from my website, and I have stuff set up to pull statistics from my computer and log it in certain places to make a graph of it. And I've got all this crap set up that, you know, it would just take me forever. I mean, chances are, even with the automated updater, some of that stuff will break and I'll have to figure it out. But not doing any of it automated, and just, I mean, as appealing as the idea of a fresh, clean computer without any of the cruft is, yeah, I know I'd be like fighting myself over all this stuff, and then I'd be worried, like, is there something I left behind? You know, did I miss something? And anyway, so
we'll
see. I'll probably order it tonight, and they've got shipping times around a week right now, so I don't know if I'll have it in place by the next show or not, but maybe. So anyway,
okay, that's on that note.
Okay. And, okay, that's it. You want to wrap it up, Yvonne?
Well, thank you for listening to another wonderful, lovely episode of Curmudgeon's Corner. If you have any questions, comments, any thoughts, anything, I don't know, you woke up on the bad side of a day, send a note to ablesmay@ablesmay.com, mentioned it, we'll probably talk about it at some point. We haven't gotten any feedback in a while.
No.
I mean, I don't know. So I don't know. Are you guys all dead? I mean, what happened? Come on, tell us something. Tell us we're idiots or something, at least. I mean, at least to know that, you know, you're paying attention. So, all right. So that's it. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Yvonne.
All right. Good night.
Later.